Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
John 17 and 17. Take time to turn to that, or you could just look at the screen. The Lord speaking, praying for his disciples. And he is in his prayer to the Father. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today for your goodness and mercy. Oh, for the presence that we have felt, for all that you've done already. And now for a little while, Lord, just help me. Help me, Lord, to say something to your people, to bless them, to encourage them, to strengthen them today, to feed the flock. And Lord, I'm going to give you praise and honor and glory for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to the Lord and worship him one more time. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the word of God? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can be seated in Jesus' name. I'm not giving you my title yet. I did mine on purpose, though. Brother Nathaniel forgot to give us his title till the end, but I'm doing this on purpose. Because I want to lay a foundation that you need to listen to before I get to the message. Jesus said, sanctify them, Father, through thy truth. And then he tells us what the truth is. Thy word is truth. When Brother Nathaniel was teaching this morning, I kept thinking that his message was had some of the same foundation is what I was saying, that if those disciples had have just known the word and known the truth, they would not have been walking sad as they were. But the truth would have, as the scripture says, the truth will set you free. But the word sanctified there, that Jesus, when he makes that statement, he's saying, Father, sanctify them, make them holy, purify them, set them apart. Set them apart by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And you can trust that. He's saying, do something in their life. Change them by your truth. Man, let me tell you, when you know the truth, your attitude changes. When you know the truth, your actions change. You know, when we teach our kids to be truthful, and so they know that there are going to be consequence to their actions when they're little, and we tell them, you be truthful, because it's always going to be worse if you lie. Tell the truth, and it goes easier for you if you will just tell the truth. Now, your backside may have not thought so. You told the truth and you still got the whooping, but I guarantee you the whooping wasn't quite as bad as if you had lied. And they found out about it. But we are sanctified by God's word, and his word is truth. I don't do this a lot, but everybody say, his word is truth. You've got to believe that. And so, you know, we try things in this life. You know, the Lord is saying, do a work in their life by your truth. And we try to do things in our life by many things. We programs and you know, maybe diets and we try to find new ways to improve our lives. We turn over a new leaf. We join certain groups. We exercise. And we're always wondering what kind of results will we get. Because when we do those things, the results are going to depend on us. And to be honest, we're never as faithful to those things as we would like to be. We want to eat better. And we do for a while. And then we don't. We want to exercise, and we do for a while, then we don't. We want to be more faithful at things than we are for a while, but then we aren't. And we always wonder, what kind of results am I going to get if I do this? When there are advertisements for this product and that product, and if you do this, it'll do that. And you take a chance and you buy it wondering, will it work for me? Will I look like the man in the ad? If I really take these drops, or am I going to get a six-pack in 3 months? If I really take these drops, is my hair going to grow back? Am I going to have these wonderful locks flowing again? You don't know, so you buy it. You try it, and what kind of results? And you're taking the word of a company of people. You're like, well, let's read the reviews. You don't know who sat down and wrote 100 views that works for the company, but with 100 different names and gave it a 5-star. You just never know with that kind of thing. But God's word is truth. And when God does it, you can be certain that His word does its job because it is truth. It's not every once in a while or hit and miss. His word is truth. Isaiah 55:11, the Lord testified of His word. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish. Somebody say it'll accomplish. God's word will do what it said it would do. If it said it, it means it. It's going to take care of it. It shall accomplish. When you accomplish something, you take care of business. You're finishing the deed. And He said, it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. So, man, that's a good thing about God's word. It's not going to leave anybody empty, but it's going to do something. It's going to prosper. It's going to bless. God's word is truth. You can trust it. Somebody say, you can trust His word. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all, how many? All the promises of who? God. The word. His word is truth. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us. God proves His word by us. We are workers together with Him, walking in His word, living by His word, and we see the benefits of the word because His word is truth. People lie with words. They can lie in their actions and their deeds, but most commonly we find that people lie with words. But the writer in Hebrews chapter 6 told us this about God, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, so we could have a strong consolation. We can have a trust in Him. We can believe Him and take Him at His word. It is impossible for God to lie. That's the word of God, and so it has to be truth. You never have to wonder, is God telling me the truth? He cannot. If He wanted to lie, He can't lie, because His word holds Him to the truth. In Psalm 119:128, the writer here said, therefore, I've made a decision. I've made up my mind that I esteem all of your precepts. He's talking to the Lord. All your precepts, everything that's in your word, concerning all things to be right. It doesn't matter what it is, God, whatever your word says about it, it's right. It's not what culture says about it, it's what you say about it. It's not what the world thinks about it, it's what you say about it. If whatever you say about anything, God, that's right. And then he ends it saying, and I hate every false way. Any way that is not God's way or backed up by God's word is a false way. And we don't want to be a part of those things. Whew. His word is the authority. His word is truth. His word has the final say on everything. I believe what the scripture says about creation because his word is truth. I believe what the scripture says about men and women that he created in the beginning because his word is truth. I believe the stories about Noah and Moses and Joshua. And I believe that David really did run out onto that battlefield and take that Philistine down with a stone because the word says he did. I believe his word is truth. I believe in what the scripture says about salvation and being born again. I believe what the scripture declares about his deity. I believe in the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues because the scripture declares it, and his word is truth. We believe healing, divine healing, miracles, signs, wonders. I believe what the Bible says that faith can do. I believe in the power of the fervent prayer of the righteous. I believe that I can enter into his presence. And I believe in his holy angels that walk among us because the word of God says it and his word is truth. And I will tell you today, as for me, even if I have not seen it with my own eyes, I still believe it. And I still stand on it. Because the Bible says I don't walk by sight, but I walk by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And his word is truth. It is forever settled in heaven, Jesus said. It is eternal, and it will not pass away. God's word is truth. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul said, all scripture or all of God's word is not just people like say, well, men wrote this book. But Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Paul knew that the letters that he was writing to the church were not just his words. He even said in one place, I believe I have the mind of Christ. When I write these things, he said they were given by the inspiration of God who cannot lie. And is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God would be thoroughly furnished or perfected. He said his true word, and it's the same thing Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we see and believe that his word is true because things that he said came to pass. There was a child born, a son given. A Savior was born, Christ the Lord. He lived and he died. And just like Jesus said, in 3 days, I will rise again. And he did. Friend, he is true to his word. God said, when I come to save you, blinded eyes would be open. And we read the scripture and find that blinded eyes actually were open. That lame men did leap, and that those that were sick and hurt and cast down were revived and restored, just like the prophets wrote, because God's word is true. When Paul was on his way to Rome and things looked shaky, the Lord sent an angel to testify. And it's okay if angels testify because the Bible says that if the words of angels were steadfast, they got a message from God, it's steadfast. And he said, the angel of the Lord stood by Paul and said, look, Paul, be of good cheer. You testified of me in Jerusalem and you will also testify in Rome. No matter what happens between here and there, you will get there. And guess what? Paul did get to Rome because God's word is truth. Somebody say God's word is truth. Do you believe his word's truth? If you believe it, clap your hands to him right now. His word is truth. And what he says about everything is right. It's true. Now for my message. That was your foundation. That was your forward to the message. Acts chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. You thought I was going to start at verse 8, didn't you? Because we love the fact that Jesus said, and you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth, we love the power of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus is instructing his followers that have followed him out to the edge of the city. And it says in verse 9, after he was done speaking, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men, two angels, stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. My message for you today has already been sung. Jesus is coming back. If you believe he's coming back, would you lift your hands and praise God this morning? Hallelujah! He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. His word is truth, and he is coming back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. His word is truth, and if it says it will happen, it's going to happen. You say, how do you know when people come to you and you start telling them, you know Jesus is coming back? How do you know that? Because I know him, and I know his word, and his word is truth. I have been sanctified by his word. His word is truth. I have been changed from the inside out. His word is truth. His word set me apart. It did the work in my life. And if it could do that, and the word describes what it can do, it tells me that I can be washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of my God. It's true. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We believe that because his word is truth. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. I believe that because I have proved it. His word proves it in my life. His word is truth. And this same Jesus shall so come. That word is just as true as repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can't change the truth of that word. It's got to be obeyed if we're going to be born again. But just as important is understanding that this same Jesus that loved us, healed us, blessed us, died for us, washed us, filled us, he's coming back someday. And I don't want to be found just standing around staring in the sky, but I want to get busy with the instruction that he gave me before he left. Before he left, he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem, and ye shall be endued with power from on high. I want to be doing what he said I need to do, because he's coming back whether I'm ready or not. It doesn't matter how many services I have sat in. It doesn't matter what my tithe report says at the end of the year. It does not matter how much I've given to the poor. Friend, if I don't know him, and if I haven't served him, and if I haven't been born again, I'm not going to be ready when this same Jesus comes again. Jesus is coming back. That's his word, and his word is truth. This is not a time for burying talents. The Lord told a parable about how it would be with the kingdom of God. He said, it's like a master, a lord, who went away into a far country on a journey, and he delivered to his servants talents. 5 to 1, 2 to 1, 1 to another. And while he was gone, two servants got busy. I'm not going to sit around wasting what God has given me. I heard what he said. I'm going away, but he said, I will be back. When you going to be back? Don't worry about that. I'm the master. You don't ask me what I'm doing. I'll be back when I get back. You just be ready when I return. And so they didn't know if he'd be back in a day or two or a week or a year. But when he came back, he found the servant with 5 talents faithful. He found the servant with 2 talents faithful. But he found the servant who had 1 talent and he had the same opportunity. He found him unfaithful because he buried his talent. He was not ready as he thought he was. He thought, I'm ready because I'm your servant. I'm here and here. Look, the same thing you gave me, I'm just going to give it back to you. He said, I didn't give it to you to bury it. I gave it to you to use it. And God did not give this word just for us to read it and tuck it away on the shelf. But he said, the word will sanctify you. It will set you apart. It will cause you to be born again. It will lead you and guide you and protect you and provide for you. The word is truth, and the truth will set you free. God, I want to be free. I want to be free, Lord. Oh, the word is life. The words that I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. It is a light unto my path, and I live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, because the word of God is truth. I know the miracles are in here, and that's truth. And I know signs and wonders are in here, and that's truth. And I know what it says about love and mercy and grace and all those things. It's his word and his truth. But we cannot just dance around with those things that make us feel good and neglect the coming of the Lord, because he's coming back just like he said. That's his word and that's truth. And honey, it ain't preached like it used to be, like they used to preach it. But man, the first church believed it with every fiber of their being that he was coming back. Let me tell you, before he filled us with the Holy Ghost, then men said, he's coming back. I don't know. They didn't say when. They didn't tell us a time or give us an hour or a day or a season. They just said, this same Jesus that you've watched go up out of here, he's coming back in like manner. So get busy doing what he said to do. It's time for the church to get busy being the church of the living God. It's time for the sanctified, set apart, holy, and purified by the word of God to get busy being the church. Witnesses. Oh, the church, the apostles, they didn't just preach about the love and the mercy. We've made that love doctrine is actually hurting people, because God loves you and there is nothing else. There's no judgment. There's no conviction. Oh, God loves me just like I am. Yes, he does. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. He loved Noah just like he was. He said, but I ain't going to leave him without a way out. He loves you just like you are, but he's not going to leave you without a way out. So before it was ever, you know, I didn't even think, this is not even my notes. In the days of Noah, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What did Noah do? He built, right? But before it was an ark, what was it? God's word. Before it was ever something they could actually step on, it was just God's word. Before there was any door, any window, any pitch, before the first log was cut, you know what it was? It was his word. And his word is truth. And when Noah got done obeying the word, wow, look at this. Look what following the word will do. And it's not just something to look at, but all these animals and me and my family, we're going to get inside and we're going to be safe when the flood comes. Well, the scripture says in the last days before God comes, it would be like it was in the days of Noah. And Noah was saved by the word of God. Because it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of things not yet seen, moved with fear. He said, I hadn't even seen it, but I believe it. I wonder if anybody believes God's word today. He said, I hadn't seen it, but I believe it, and I got busy working. And it says, and 8 souls were saved by water. He built an ark, saved him, saved his family, because he believed there's a flood coming. And let me tell you, I believe today that Jesus is coming back, because the angels stood and said, this same Jesus that you've watched disappear into the clouds, he's coming back. Oh, I tell you, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Oh, it's not a time. Listen, we don't need to be forgetting that Jesus is coming back. And the disciples, the apostles, they preached this coming of Jesus. They preached that death, burial, and resurrection so people could be saved. And they preached that return of the king so people would work on staying saved. They warned them. The letters say, so we warn men. We warn them. We tell them. We plead with them. He's coming back. But why would they preach that so hard? Why would they talk about that so fervently? Because Jesus did. It wasn't just angels declaring it. It wasn't just apostles declaring it. But Jesus declared it. And you can just, this is, I'm going to read this fast, but just listen here. In Matthew chapter 24, the disciples are saying, what's the sign of your return? And he begins to expound some things unto them. But I want to start in verse 35. And Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, which are truth, shall not pass away. But of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came. Oh, I don't want to be caught. He said, in the days before the flood, they had a space of time. Before this event happened, they had some time to get it right. They had some time to do what they were supposed to do, but they just went about their way, eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, just living life. Nothing's going to, let that man build his ark. Let him preach about this imaginary flood that nobody's ever seen. Let him just keep on doing what he's doing. And it says, but they got knowledge. All of a sudden, they were endued with knowledge. After the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall there be two in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taking, the other left. Watch therefore, for you don't know what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what hour and what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's his word, and his word is truth. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him the ruler over all his goods. But, and if, that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, I know nobody wants to hear those kind of scriptures. Nobody wants to hear, I don't want to hear about missing it. Then be ready. He said, watch and be ready. You don't want to miss it? Watch and be ready. You don't want to be, hey, God closed the door on that ark and there were people that found themselves on the wrong side of the door. You don't want to be on the wrong side of that door? Get ready. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. People, get ready. Jesus is coming back for his church. It's his word, and his word is truth. A like account of this in Luke chapter 21, in verse 33, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, their truth, shall not pass away. Take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, so that that day comes upon you unaware. Don't get so caught up in everything else that you can't keep your eye on the sky looking for that coming of the Lord. The Bible says, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Lift up your eyes unto the hills. We need to be looking for the Lord to come. He's coming. And let me tell you, there's signs everywhere. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars. Right now, they are monitoring 110 armed conflicts around the world. 110 armed conflicts around the world. That's not even the rumblings of other countries saying, you do this and I'm going to do that. There are wars and rumors of wars. Jesus said in that day there would be earthquakes in diverse places. In 2024 alone, there have been 9,789 earthquakes around the world, and some in strange places. There are 45 active volcanoes around the world right now. There have been floods, landslides, tornadoes, hurricanes. There is one part of a desert that the flooding was so extensive that it turned part of the desert into ocean. There's things happening. It's His word, and it's true. All these earthquakes happening, it's His word, and it's truth. But you don't have to be terrified, and you don't have to be afraid. Because if you know what the word says, He's coming back to get a bride. He's coming back to get a people that's made themselves ready. You know that you and I, the church, the body, the bride, we're getting out of here one day. Jesus is coming back for a church. He's not just coming back to tear things up. He's coming back to get His bride. Luke wrote, for as a snare, it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth. He said it's going to be like a snare on everybody, but everybody won't be caught. A snare is what catches prey. But sometimes that old animal's a little bit crafty. He knows. I've seen those things before, and it don't get me. You ever had a problem with a field mouse and bait that trap, coming out the next day and the cheese is plumb licked off of it. And it's just as sad as it was when you put it on the floor. You do it again and come in the next day, you just feeding him. I know how to get around that thing. Let me tell you, God's people, when it comes on the earth, it'll come on as a snare on the whole earth, but there's going to be one group that slips right out of it because we're ready. He said, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. That's what Jesus said about Him coming back. That's why the first church preached as much as they preached about Acts 2:38, and they preached about the gospel and preached about the death, burial, and resurrection. They preached about the second coming of this resurrected Savior. Because they knew, He said, He was coming back. Paul would say this in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's coming back. Then we, which are alive and remain... Oh, I heard Brother Huntley expound on this a little bit this weekend, and he said, then we which are alive and remain. He said, not remains. Remains, that's the leftovers. He said, but those of us that remain. He said, I'm going to come back for those that are alive and remain faithful, steadfast, unmovable, blood-bought, spirit-filled, praying, praising, worshiping. I'm coming back for those that remain ready for my return. He said, and they which are alive and remain. Oh, I'm planning on remaining with the Lord. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, see, you ain't got to be scared. Comfort one another with these words. Listen, the church knew Even in that day, the world was against them. But they kept on plowing and they kept on preaching. And that's why you read about them in Hebrews, how they were tortured and chased and killed and burnt at the stake and fed to animals. And they just tried to rub the church out. But their comfort was this, that one day, dead or alive, Jesus is going to catch me away. I'm going to get out of here one day. I'm going to go to my reward. He said, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But brethren, you're not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch. Let us watch. Let us watch and be sober. He's not just talking about the natural man being inebriated. He's talking about you need to be sober-minded. You need to be thinking clearly about what's going on and what you need to be doing to be ready when Jesus comes again. That's one of the apostles, what he had to say about it. Let's see what Peter had to say about this. I'm almost done. Yeah, I'm almost done. See? Maybe I'll be like the Lord and you won't know when I'll finish. But you'll just have to be ready and watch. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the first four verses, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Remember, sanctified means purified. He said, I'm writing to you that have been sanctified because I need to stir up your mind. I need to remind you of some things. I got to remind you of this. This is something we should be reminding each other of. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust. They're doing their own thing because they don't believe anything's going to happen. And they always say the same things. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. It's just like it's always been. We've heard over and over again that Jesus is coming back. Well, you can hear it a million times or a billion times, and it don't change the fact because it's his word, and his word is truth. This same Jesus shall so come. He's coming back. He's coming back. In verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. His time is not your time. You can't figure it out. You're not going to know it, but there are signs to be watching for. And there's one thing, even if you can't see the signs all around you, you can look at the Word of God and know that Jesus said, I'm coming back. And if he said, I'm coming back, he's coming back because it's his word. And his word is truth. Jesus is coming back. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But look at this. He's talking about that return. But he's long-suffering to us because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That's a new life. He said, I'm coming back. I'm not going to default on that promise. I'm not slack concerning my promise. It's yea and amen. But I am long-suffering. And so I'm giving people a time, just like in the days of Noah, before the flood came. So what are we doing before the flood? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? That's not just words, that's your behavior and godliness. How should we be acting? If we really believe that he's coming back and we really believe we don't know the day or the hour, why are we taking chances with our eternal soul? You don't know. I don't know. Your pastor can't tell you. There ain't no prophet on this planet can tell you. There ain't no book written that can tell you. There ain't no podcast or show you can watch that can tell you when he will be back. And since we are assured that he's returning, I hope nobody doubts that he's returning. But this one factor, I don't know when. Why am I gambling with my soul? What would it gain a man if he could win and have the whole world and lose his own soul? What would it profit a man if he had everything you could imagine, but he loses his own soul? Why do we live like he's not coming back? We can't just live from Sunday to Sunday, from conference to conference, from prayer meeting to prayer meeting. We can't just live for days of the week. We're living for eternity, because we will all spend eternity somewhere. So why? Knowing the word, it's true, it's going to happen. We believe he rose from the dead. We celebrate it every Resurrection Sunday, every Easter, we believe it. We believe he came to this earth and was born. We celebrate it every year at Christmas time. We celebrate those things. I don't believe he was born in December, but we celebrate it then. And all those things, we celebrate all these things that we say, yeah, because the word says it and we believe that. But it also says, you hear what your pastor is telling you right now. He said, I am coming back. And you can't just be worried about, I'll do that next Sunday. I'll do that next Wednesday. I'll do that at revival. I'll do that at camp. I'll get that right with my New Year's resolution, because Jesus could come back in the next 5 seconds. Before I flip the page on my notes, the trumpet could sound. And where will we be 1 second after the trumpet sounds? Jesus is coming back. And that's what Peter was telling the church. He said, we have invested too much in you to let you forget that you don't just go on and do anything you want to do. Don't get caught up in this world doing crazy stuff, because Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. I don't know when, and neither do you, but it's going to happen. Be ready. If the musicians want to come, if they want to come and get ready, what should we be doing? Well, in our opening scripture, we see that after the angels shook them out of their stupor, that they went and did exactly what Jesus said to do. They were so awestruck by him just floating up into the sky and disappearing. He was gone. They couldn't even see him. What are you doing? Well, Jesus, where is he? I can't see him anymore. Well, then why are you standing here? I thought he said, go tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise. And so they did. And they received the promise. They had never seen anyone. They'd heard Jesus talk about it. They had never seen anyone filled with the Holy Ghost. They had never heard anybody speaking in other tongues. They'd never seen cloven tongues of fire sitting on anybody. They had never experienced the sound of that rushing mighty wind. It never been experienced by anybody. Only God knew what it was going to be like. But they went and they sat And they tarried and they prayed. And suddenly, that promise came suddenly. Maybe in the midst of somebody getting up, fixing to say, I can just say, pick one of them, they've been there a while, says, maybe we should break for lunch. Maybe somebody got up and said, we've been sitting here a while, maybe we, and before he could get it out of his mouth. There's no sound system in that day. Didn't say anything about a storm. But a sound from heaven. Sound came from heaven. And they could only akin it to a rushing, mighty wind. Maybe that the rider that had been on those fishing boats with those sails flapping before in a storm, maybe he said it was like that. It was like that wind is. Sorry. Suddenly, and while people's mind, maybe their minds were starting to drift or they were beginning to wonder when, suddenly. And don't you know that they were glad they stayed? Don't you know they were glad that they didn't get up and walk out? They didn't say, this has been a long time. This is too much. Aren't you glad that they just believed? They've got to be, oh, I'm so glad that I trusted what Jesus said. And then all of a sudden it hit them. And they began to speak with other tongues, glorifying God in heavenly languages and other languages that they had never spoken before. And these visible images of cloven tongues of fire set upon them. And they had never seen it, never heard of anything like this. Well, they'd heard that it was coming, but never heard of it happening anywhere before. But they just believed it, and they received it. And so I'll tell you this today, that God has made a promise and put it in His Word, that He is coming back. That's a promise. And according to what the apostles wrote and according to what Jesus said about it, it would be suddenly. It would be in a time that we think not, when it's not on our mind, when we're in our service, we're being faithful in our service, and our mind is on, hey, I got to get my next sermon ready. Whew. I may sit down to study one morning and pull my pen out and whew. That. Maybe get ready to lay hands on somebody and whew. May stand up here with the microphone and say, praise the Lord. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. And I'm going to be so glad that I remained. I'm going to be so glad that I stayed in His Word and in His truth, because it's a promise. Stand with me across the building. So to sum it all up, the truth is this. Jesus is coming back. And I want to be ready for His return. There's no time to waste. You know, honestly, people say, tell you something, well, let me get back to you on that. I need to think about that. It's not something to think about. It's not something, so I'm just going to have to, if you believe any part of His Word that is true, then you've got to know this, that He is coming back. And only you and God know, am I ready? Because it's the Word that sets us apart. The Bible says we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God. We are born again when we are baptized in Jesus' name in the water and filled with the Spirit. Born of water, born of Spirit, we are born again. And only you know, even after you've maybe made that commitment and done those things, experienced that, only you know have you remained. Only you do, you and God. Only you know if you've buried your talent. Only you know if you've gotten swept up in the cares of life and forgotten to live like you know Jesus is coming back. But Jesus said this in John chapter 14. To those that were so close to him that he loved so much, and he loves us all just like that. So listen to these words from your Savior. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Just tap yourself and say, for me. Jesus went away to prepare a place for you, me. All of us in this room, I've gone away to prepare a place for you. And he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, not might, not maybe, but he said, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. And if I go, I will come. And if I go, I will come. And if I go, I will come. I will come again. The writer at the end of Revelation said, even so, Lord Jesus. The Lord said it at the end of the book. Behold, I come quickly. Even so. Does it scare you to say that? Because if it does, today's the day to lose that fear. If the coming of the Lord frightens you, then it's time to get rid of that. Because you should be able to stand and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. His word is truth. His word says he will return. His word says I will come again. His word says, behold, I come quickly. Let's get ready for the return of the Lord. I'm asking for a response today because this word was written to the church and this word was preached to the church in your ears. And as you listened to the descriptions to the foundation of the message that his word is truth, and you amen, his word is truth, you have witnessed, become a witness that you believe his word is true. But I'm telling you today, you don't have to leave here unprepared for the coming of the Lord. That you can find a place, as Peter said, that it's God's will that people find a place of repentance. God, I'm sorry. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to lay those things down. And you can come into this water today and be baptized in Jesus' name. And God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible tells us if that same Spirit that raised Jesus up dwell in us, then it will also raise us up. We've got to have that Spirit. So the altar is going to open today. And I'm beseeching you, as the scripture would say. I'm pleading with you. Come find a place to pray in this altar. If it gets too full, then make an altar at your chair and seek the Lord. We're going to spend some time. They're not going to sing yet. They're going to play for a few minutes. And we're going to come seek God. You need to come seek the Lord and ask him to search your heart. It's time to come and lay things down on the altar. It's time to find a place of repentance. It's time to find a place where you can confess and you can let go of the things that are scaring you and hurting you. It's time to come and pour your heart out before the Lord. Would you come seek the Lord? You don't want to be in that scripture. You don't want it to happen to you. And they didn't know it until the flood came. They heard it, but they didn't believe it. I don't want to learn that way. I don't want that kind of knowledge. I don't want to look around and see my loved ones gone. I don't want to look around and see my church people gone and realize that Jesus came while I slept, that Jesus came while I wasn't ready. Oh, I didn't think it would be today. I got so much life to live. I'm trying to raise a family. I'm trying to go to school. I'm trying to start a job, but I don't want to be caught up in those things. I want to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Seek the Lord with your whole heart, and He will be found of you.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.